We're discussing mosquito season on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin is home to dozens of species of mosquitoes. That is thanks to UW-Madison's entomology department for that accounting. How are mosquitoes where you are? Are they super aggressive? Not so bad? Do you wear insect repellents? What works to prevent bites? 800-642-1234. Lyric Bartholomew is a UW-Madison professor, studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, and other parasites. Lyric, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Good morning.
I'm glad
to be here.
Good morning. How is the mosquito population looking so far this summer?
You know, we have kind of gotten a break of some sorts from the mosquitoes this summer. We had that really weird, long, cold spring, and it seems like the mosquitoes just didn't have opportunity to ramp up in numbers like they usually do. So certainly we have some callers, I would guess, who have a different experience, but sort of as a general observation, our numbers, at least in Wisconsin, have been lower.
So that breeding season, when it was cooler, that affected the mosquito population?
You know, I don't have complete evidence of that, but that's okay. What I suspect.
Does climate change impact the population? When we see heavy rainfall that goes to drought, that goes to extreme high temperatures, what does that do?
Yeah, it's a great question and something we're trying to tackle right now in our Center of Excellence here on campus. You know, we think about mosquitoes and think, well, if it rains and there's lots of rain, then there'll be lots of mosquitoes. And that's partially true, right? Sort of like you just suggested, Kate. But a lot of rain can also wash away mosquito habitat and kill all the mosquitoes when they're in their larval stages in water. And then, right, if it's followed immediately by drought, that also can impact whether there's sufficient habitat for them to grow and develop. So it's not as simple as climate change equals more mosquitoes, but climate change definitely has profound impacts on those little insects that are out in the world.
Yeah,
we have a study going on right now to see what winter temperatures do to mosquitoes. So those mosquitoes that are out there trying to survive during the winter as eggs, seems like one of the interesting things we're learning is that if they're in a tire, for example, certain kinds of mosquitoes, if they're in a tire and that tire is covered by snow, they may overwinter better. So again, climate change may lead to less snow cover and then the mosquitoes not surviving the winter as well. So it's really complex.
Yeah, and certainly complex with our warming winters, but then you have like a polar vortex and you would think that would damage the population.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that because we were just looking at information from one of our studies and shows that, yeah, even during the polar vortex where temperatures were like in the minus 30s for several weeks, there are mosquitoes in tires. And if the tires were covered by snow, the mosquitoes survived. Hmm. So pretty amazing, resilient creatures.
I view mosquitoes as these like flying bloodsuckers, but do they have more value when you look holistically at the environmental ecosystem as a whole? You know, do they have more value than how I view them?
Right. Well, first of all, it might be fun to know that, like, just right off the bat, half of the mosquitoes out there, if we assume that there's a 50-50 break, half of them there are males. And so males never bloodfeed. It's only the females that bloodfeed. And there actually are types of mosquitoes that don't bloodfeed at all. They don't need blood in order to grow eggs. So it's really just to produce eggs. That's the reason why females, some types of female mosquitoes take blood. So maybe that alleviates some of your distress about mosquitoes, Kate. but certainly they do play some ecosystem services, probably a lot that we don't appreciate. They feed bats and ducks and birds and all kinds of things. We know from a study that was done that in places where mosquito larvae are really well controlled in the water, birds are getting less protein and so they don't have as much to use for their own reproduction. And it can actually impact the reproductive success of birds in the area if all the mosquitoes are wiped. So it's very likely that they're really important in ways we underappreciate.
Lyric, we're having a bit of connection issues and being able to hear you here. So we're going to switch to phones as we talk with Lyric Bartholomew, who is a UW-Madison professor, studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, other parasites. You can join in. Have you had West Nile virus or another mosquito-borne disease? What was it like? How do you protect your kids and yourself from mosquitoes? What are your best tips? Do you wear insect repellents with DEET? Have you tried repellents with natural ingredients? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick this up in just a moment with Lyric on the Ideas Network. We're talking about mosquito season in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Your mosquito-related questions, 800-642-1234. We have Lyric Bartholomew, who directs the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease at UW-Madison, and she is with us. Lyric, perhaps broad strokes here, how does Wisconsin manage mosquitoes? Is there investment in spraying at the state level, county, city level? How does that work?
Yeah, thank you for asking. We actually had a really great vet student from UW-Madison ask that very question. And we found that by doing this broad survey of the whole state, that it's pretty patchwork. So cities like Madison have some mosquito control. Over in the Milwaukee area, there's some contracted mosquito control. But as a general rule, we don't have a state-based system for mosquito control, or what we call abatement.
Yeah, and is there like a track record of what chemicals are being put on to put the mosquitoes at bay? And wondering, is this safe for other animals and insects?
Yeah, thanks for asking that too. So, when we do mosquito control in Wisconsin, we have to comply with the regulations from state agencies like the Department of Natural Resources. So there's oversight about what we use if it's done at the community level. I can't speak so much to the private companies that are brought in to do that. But a lot of what we would do in Madison, for example, would be using biological controls. So we use something called BT, which your listeners might be familiar with because it's also used in transgenic corn. So if you've heard of BT corn, there's a BT that's specific for mosquitoes. So it's a bacteria. We can put that in the water in these sort of mosquito dunks or in pellets or in soluble packets. It dissolves in the water and the mosquito larvae eat it and it destroys their guts and they die. And it's really mosquito and maybe some other fly specific. So its environmental impacts and impacts on non-target organisms are really limited. We also have then, of course, like chemical ways to control adult mosquitoes. And when those are used correctly, we use them at night. We use really fine mist spray, and we just control mosquitoes that are out flying. And that way we can really minimize the impacts on pollinators and other insects. So there are really good mosquito controls when they're used correctly.
Let's bring in Alyssa in Sparta with a question. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much to the caller. I've already learned so much about a pretty interesting topic. So my question is, I have a rain barrel and I removed the lid maybe about a month ago and it was filled with mosquitoes. Is there something I can do to cease that activity?
Oh, thank you for asking. I also really have enjoyed using my rain barrels. It's a really great way to collect water and water your garden. And it's an important place that mosquitoes may grow and breed. So perfect that you called this morning, Alyssa. There are a couple of things you could do. You could consider putting a screen or something over the top so that mosquitoes don't have access to the water in the barrel. And if that's really impossible. Sometimes based on the design, that's difficult to do. If you can't do that, you could try going to your garden store and get these mosquito dunks that are this BT that I was just talking about. So a way to kind of safely control those mosquito larvae in your backyard is with those dunks. I think you can also get them online. So those are a couple of different potential strategies. But it's great to balance those two things. Make sure you control the mosquitoes, but also do a smart job of collecting the rainwater that comes off of your roof.
Yeah, Alyssa, how long have you had the rain barrel?
Well, I've had it for about 4 years, and I move it in every winter. And this is the first year that I've noticed it.
You've noticed the mosquitoes when you opened it up?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And in past years, that hasn't happened?
No, not to my knowledge, no.
Huh, yeah. Any thoughts there, Lyric, why maybe this year would be different?
I'm not sure. Maybe you were had more time to notice, Alyssa, or it could be that this was the first thing out your backyard.
Yeah. Well, Alyssa, thank you so much for that question. You know, Lyric, we've talked before about invasive mosquito species moving into Wisconsin, the Asian rock pool mosquito, Asian tiger mosquito, two on your radar. Are they becoming more common here?
Well, there's a mixed answer there. So the rock pool mosquito has done an extraordinary job of establishing all over the state now. We can even find it up in northern Wisconsin. So that one's done a very successful job of invading. The tiger mosquito seems to have some limits. So we're on the lookout for it. We found it in just a couple of places in Wisconsin, and we're not entirely convinced that it survives our Wisconsin winter, so might be less of a threat.
Do you think that we have reached the max of knowing how many types of mosquitoes are out there? How many species? Have you discovered them all?
Oh, I love this question. So I had this really great student working with me from the entomology department, and she did this really deep dive into the mosquitoes of Wisconsin and found that there are like 53 species of mosquitoes that we find here. So that's a fun bit of trivia. And here in the city of Madison, we also did a deep dive into the mosquitoes of the Arboretum. And in the Arboretum, we found 21 species of mosquito in all the trapping that we were doing. And then there was a 22nd. So for the first time, that same student discovered a new species of mosquito right here in Madison, right, where there's so much research ongoing all the time. So pretty exciting to think that, yeah, we certainly don't know at all in terms of what's out there.
How do you do that trapping of mosquitoes?
Yeah, so we tap into mosquito biology. You know, mosquitoes are attracted to people, and there are a couple of things that attract them to us, things like heat and carbon dioxide from our breathing. And so we have traps that actually we bait with dry ice, and dry ice releases carbon dioxide into the air that attracts mosquitoes. And we also have fitted into our traps little lights, which mm-hmm. are probably a little bit of heat, and they also just attract insects in general. You know, like a moth comes to the light at night. A lot of mosquitoes will do that too. So light is an attractant. So we use those behavioral attributes of the mosquito to coax them into us, and we trap them all in a net and then bring them back to the lab in the vet school or in the entomology department, and we can sort through and see what's there.
How much stock do you put in those citronella candles? Do they work?
Yeah, none at all, really. They smell really nice. And maybe to some extent, having just like a little bit of flame there and a little smoke coming off of the flame is helpful. But, you know, I think if you put out citronella, you'll have a nice scent out there. do a whole lot in terms of reducing the bite burden on you.
So we have a caller who called in yesterday about her dog. What can you do to keep mosquitoes away from your pets?
That one's harder, right? We do have some really great ways to control things like ticks and fleas on pets. It's harder to control flying mosquitoes. The really important thing to protect your pets is to make sure that they're on some kind of preventative for dog heartworm parasites, so that if they do get fed on by mosquitoes, they're well protected. But generally, we don't recommend using any of those kind of repellent sprays like we use on ourselves on our dogs.
Okay. We're talking with Lyric Bartholomew, who is a UW-Madison professor, studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, other parasites. You can join in with your questions about mosquitoes where you are, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Lyric, when applying repellent, what are some good tips that you have to apply mosquito repellent?
Oh, yeah. So I would just take this opportunity to point out to our listeners that the Environmental Protection Agency has a really great resource for folks to figure out what repellent to use and when and for how long. And I think that's really been useful for me and for my family. So hopefully that would be great for other folks too. And so you can go and search for the kind of active ingredient that's in the repellent, the brand name, how long you'd have to have it on before you need to reapply, and those kinds of things. But in general, I think for my family, what we use is a DEET-based product. DEET is an excellent repellent. And then what we try to do is, after we've been outdoors having fun, come inside and wipe it off. Shower or just take a washcloth and wipe it off if it's on any parts of our skin.
Let's go to Leslie. Let's go to Leslie now in Hortonville. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, good morning. And I apologize. I just turned on your program, so this may be redundant. But I'm very, very concerned about our pollinators. And what I've experienced, I do landscape design, and I've been traveling all over the state for a couple of decades. And I am seeing the dwindling of butterflies, honeybees, bumblebees. And I hear people, they just don't understand I don't understand. This is what I really want to know, is the private companies that are out there that I'm seeing springing up everywhere. Do they have regulations that they have to follow, or how does that work? Because this is very frightening to me. Thank you. And I'll take your answer off here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Leslie.
Yeah, Leslie, thank you. I don't have a good answer to your question. I don't know what products those companies are using, and they should, as people who are out applying pesticides, have pesticide application licenses, but that doesn't, control what particular products they're using. And so for anybody who is out there and thinking about using those companies, I encourage you to ask them questions, ask what they're using, and suggest that if you're doing any spraying, that it be done in the dusk and at times when pollinators aren't out and active. But I think the other problem too is that we as homeowners have so much access to so many different pesticides. You can go to a local store and find all kinds of pesticides on the shelves. And so it's great that you're noticing. It's so important that we take good care of our pollinators and we're good environmental stewards. And to whatever extent we can use pesticides smartly, it's really important to do so.
Yeah, so be very careful and thoughtful. Read those labels. Ask those questions. Yeah. I want to move on to the comic book that you produced about mosquitoes. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this comic book. We've just put out a comic book called Mosquitoes Suck. And it's true. Mosquitoes suck in so many ways. So they truly do suck your blood. You know, they're not biters, they're suckers, actually. And they're just such a burden, right? So they're really bothersome. Sometimes they transmit pathogens, and so can be really troublesome, as you alluded to earlier in our show, Kate. But my colleagues at Iowa State and I worked with other friends now at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and some Marvel Comics artists, and we came up with this really, really cool graphic novel about this whole concept of mosquitoes sucking.
Who is your target audience?
We're really working to try and encourage kids to see themselves as scientists. So kids are our target audience, and the goal is that all kids, all from all over, have a role to play in public health and in the safety of their families. And so we'd love kids to get more involved in knowing about mosquitoes, in being change agents in their backyards, finding those mosquitoes, for example, in the rain barrels, and finding some solution to intervene. So that's our target audience and our target concept.
I'm just curious, you know, you're a scientist. What did you learn about making comic books along that journey?
Oh my gosh, it's such a phenomenal process. And it's so fun to get to work with true artists. And we went back and forth a lot on issues like, how do we represent DDT and what DDT did to the environment and how important it is in mosquito control. So we actually had lots of debate. We had lots of opportunities to talk artistically about, like, how do we represent a mosquito in a way that makes it look scary and gross, but also approachable. So all kinds of things I'd never thought about before, Kate, got wrapped into that process.
So much artistry and creativity involved in that. I would imagine it was certainly something that was perhaps a challenge to you.
A great challenge and a labor of love. But what a gift to get to work with, you know, my dear friend and great colleague Catherine Richardson Bruno over at Iowa State, and with Bob Hall, who's a Marvel Comics artist, to get to make that thing come to life.
Lyric, so much fun to catch up with you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, as always.
Lyric Bartholomew is a UW-Madison professor, studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, other parasites. She's director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease. Just ahead, we have a group of DACA recipients and applicants to discuss the experiences and their views on immigration policy. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.